temporary troubles of this life are producing an eternal glory for you far beyond comparison.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I wanted to share some thoughts with you today that spring from one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Now, I am imagining some of you right now at home, you're chuckling right now, because you know that I say that a lot, and I can't help myself because there are just so many wonderful nuggets of pure gold in God's Word. So I find this particular verse, though, to be one of the most profound and mind-boggling in all of Scripture. And I confess that I think my understanding of it is quite limited, but I can't wait to see how God works all of this out. I'm talking about a nugget of truth that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which teaches us this amazing truth. Paul says, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Light, momentary affliction somehow is preparing, it's producing for us, it's making for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Well, I want us then to reflect then here today on this incomparable glory. Our passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. And the thought that I'd like us to take away from today is this, that the temporary troubles of this life are producing an eternal glory for you far beyond comparison. Before we look at our passage there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a little context first. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and this church had been having a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems and troubles and issues that the Apostle Paul had been working hard to try to straighten out. And one of the problems there was the presence of some false teachers. I know we see that as a constant theme, it seems, in the New Testament, don't we? But here were these false teachers in their midst who were challenging the authority of Paul and his apostolic associates. And in doing this, they were undermining the message of the gospel. And these false teachers, and they were asserting that people should not listen to Paul because apparently he was not a particularly impressive person in some ways. And they also then said, they had the audacity to say, that the fact that Paul was suffering for the gospel was evidence that he and his associates and their message were not to be trusted. How can you believe someone? Look at all the trouble in that he gets. How can you believe a person like that? How can you believe a message that leads to such trouble and difficulty? Well, listen to what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. He says, "But we have this treasure," that is the gospel, "we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I spoke,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I'd like us to reflect on this treasure of the gospel. As many of you know, that word gospel, it simply means good news. And what is this good news? Well, it is the good news that through faith in Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection from the grave, putting our trust and confidence in him, we can receive forgiveness for our sins and pass from death and judgment into eternal life through faith in Jesus. You see, God requires moral perfection, and all of us, including me, including you, fall far short of that, don't we? We all fall far short of God's glory of moral perfection. So God then must judge our sin, but he sent a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the punishment for our sin. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the law. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and then he rose again in order that we might have forgiveness and life in his name. And it's received by faith in him and what he did for us. That is the gospel. And that is the treasure. That is the treasure that we carry about in our frail mortal bodies, these weak jars of clay. But we see in this passage then that the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We are weak, aren't we? We are frail. We are mortal. These mortal lives are passing away. The events of these past few weeks are reminding us once again how weak we are, how fragile life truly is, all the things that we take for granted. But we have hope in the midst of this. We have the treasure of the gospel that we carry about in these jars of clay. And this gospel hope, our salvation, our deliverance, our redemption in Christ, the power for that belongs to God and not to us. I couldn't save myself. You can't either. There's nothing we can do for ourselves to make us right with God, to escape righteous judgment. So Jesus did it for us. God did it for us, for you, for me. So this shows then that the power of salvation is God's. It belongs to God alone and not to us. And as a result then, all the glory goes to him alone, doesn't it? Soli Deo Gloria. The glory goes to God alone. So the gospel is the power of God. The gospel then also is strength. It is strength in affliction. Paul says there, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. You know, God has never promised in his word to spare us from hardship and difficulty. In fact, sometimes as followers of Christ, we become subject to a particular brand of hardship and difficulty simply for being faithful to the Lord Jesus and his word. So Paul says, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Yes, we have hardships, but they don't crush us completely. He says, we are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. You know, sometimes we don't understand what is going on all the time, do we? We say, Lord, why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? But he says, we're not driven to despair, though. He says, we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. You know, the Word of God says that if we live lives faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, people are going to be opposed to that. We all will face persecution of some kind or another. But Paul was facing severe persecution, just like there are many brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world that are suffering persecution simply because they believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they seek to follow him. But the promise that they have and you have and I have is that even though we may be persecuted, we will never be forsaken. That God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Some were even struck down. They were killed for their faith. But they were not destroyed. They were not destroyed. Even though their physical lives may have been taken from them, they had their eternal life in the presence of the Lord. Afflicted but not crushed. Perplexed but not driven to despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Paul says they were always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. That is, as we suffer and go through hardship, we're entering into, we're identifying with Jesus and the hardships that he went through. But just as he then was raised to life and has given us spiritual life, even as we identify with Christ and his sufferings, so too then the life of Jesus is manifested in us. As we grow, as we become more like Jesus, more Christ-like in character and conduct, we will then be manifesting the life of Jesus. It says, for we who live are being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Even those who are dying for their faith, we're demonstrating the life of Jesus through the hope of the resurrection. So Paul says, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Through their sufferings, those people in Corinth and in many other places around the world, they were coming to have life in Christ because of that. So the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is strength in affliction. And the gospel, though, too, is a promise. It's the promise of the resurrection. That since we have the same spirit of faith, Paul says. Now, I think what he's doing, he's referring to a passage in Psalm 116 there, in which the psalmist there, he confidently asked God to deliver him out of his troubles. He knew that God would deliver him. And so Paul says, in that same spirit of faith, I know that God will deliver me. And we too can have that same spirit of faith. That we know that God will indeed deliver us. He will deliver you out of all of your troubles. In fact, he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence, he says. As we have put our trust and confidence in Jesus, not only do we have forgiveness of sin, not only will we have eternal life forever in his presence, but the promise then too is that these mortal bodies will be raised. That even though we die physically, we will be raised, glorious, incorruptible, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as grace extends then to more and more people, praise and thanksgiving to God then will also increase. And this praise and this glory is due to God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Finally then, something that's just mind-boggling then for us to reflect on. The gospel then is encouragement. The gospel is encouragement for today and it's glory forever. Encouragement right here, right now in hardship and suffering, but it's the promise of glory forever, a glory far beyond comparison. Paul says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In what way is our outer self wasting away? The outer self, what he's talking about, our physical mortal bodies. And I don't think it's just the physical body, though. I think it's everything that goes along with it, with life in this world. Yes, our lives are physically wasting away, but there's also emotional and psychological breakdown of our mortal selves, too, isn't there? See, our life in Christ, we are, aren't you glad that living forever in God's presence does not mean living like this, the way we are now, forever and ever? That doesn't sound like a pleasant prospect, does it? But this outer self, though, the mortal body, our sins, our failures, the breakdown of the body, our emotional distress, psychological disturbances, all of these things we are wasting away. But even so, our spirit, that new person within us, is being renewed day by day. That's encouragement as we're growing more and more into the image of Christ, being made more and more like him in thought, in word, in deed. But then this incredible truth, Paul says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You might think, what is Paul thinking about? We all, you know, have afflictions and hardship, but I bet none of us have suffered for Christ in the way that Paul did. What is this light, momentary affliction that he refers to here? Well, listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he talks about some of these light, momentary afflictions. Now, from the perspective of this life, these things are hardly light or momentary at all. But from the perspective of eternity, they are. But here was Paul's eternal perspective on that. Look at what he says here. What are some of these afflictions that he endured for the sake of Jesus, for the gospel? Well, 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. He says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. So these are the light momentary afflictions Paul was talking about. You might ask, well, boy, how does that compare with the afflictions you and I face? I'd say probably there's no comparison at all. And yet Paul says all of that is light and momentary compared to what God is going to do in him and for him and through him forever. You see, the word teaches that God uses our affliction for our eternal good. And I think one of the ways that he does that is he uses hardship to develop our character into greater Christ-likeness. And that is preparing for us a glory, an eternal life, far beyond all comparison to any hardship and suffering we endure now. He says it's beyond all comparison. As I thought about that, I thought, you know, here's a, maybe a way to illustrate this, this beyond all comparison. As you, many of you know, you gave me that wonderful gift of that trip to Israel a few years ago now, almost 5 years ago now, it's hard to believe. But when I was there, I had the opportunity to visit the Valley of Elah, which is where David confronted Goliath, the giant there. And here is an official rock that I picked up here from the Valley of Elah there. And by the way, did you know that the Israeli government, they bring in truckloads of rocks there? Everybody has to pick up rocks, the five stones, you know, from there, because they want to have a stone from the Valley of Elah. And I knew about that. So here's what I did. I went off the trail a little bit, and I actually dug up this rock right here. So this is actually an authentic rock from the Valley of Elah there, where David confronted Goliath here. But here's this rock, this stone right here. And if you think of the hardships and the troubles that we face in this life right now, if you think of these as being like this, you can then think of what God is doing through them and what God is going to give to you, to me, the life that we are going to have in the new heaven and the new earth is like Mount Everest compared to this. You know, and that's hard for us to understand, isn't it? But it takes faith. It takes faith for us to see it that way, to understand that here are our hardships and afflictions. Our eternal glory, it's Mount Everest compared to this. And yet that's precisely what the Word of God tells us. Do you believe that? That's why we have to look at this through the perspective, through the eyes of faith. You know, I've recommended a book so many times. I think that I should be receiving a cut of royalties for this here. But it is Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. Again, I want to highly recommend this to you. I know some of you have read this, really been encouraged by this. If you've not, I recommend picking this up and reading it through. You know, you have some time at home right now. This would be a good time maybe to pick up a copy of this and read this. This will do a lot to encourage you, to help us to get a better grasp in our minds of what awaits us, of the eternal glory that awaits us. Here he spells out the wonderful teaching of Scripture about the eternal life that awaits us, as well as engages in a little sanctified speculation. And I think you'll be very encouraged by that. I think apart from the Scriptures, this would, without a doubt, is one of the most impactful, influential books I've ever read. I can't recommend it highly enough for you. But we need to look at this then, not through what we, through physical eyes that see what is seen, but rather we need to look at this and understand this through eyes of faith. As Paul says there, as we look to the things, not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, spiritual things, spiritual truths. Because the things that are seen are transient. They're here today and gone tomorrow. Boy, we're getting reminded once again powerfully of that, aren't we? But the things that are unseen are eternal. What is eternity compared to this right now? You might ask, well, so what? What do you want me to do about this? Well, I want to remind us then of this wonderful truth that the temporary troubles of this life are producing an eternal glory for you that is far beyond comparison. So I want to conclude by asking three questions here. First off is this: have you believed the gospel? See, the gospel is this treasure that we carry about in these weak mortal jars of clay. The gospel is that hope. It's encouragement for today. It's hope forever of a new life with God and His presence on a renewed earth. Have you believed the gospel? Put your trust in Christ. Turned away from sin. Turned to faith in Him. Asked Him to forgive your sin. Then tell Him that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that you want to walk with Him, that you want to know Him and follow Him. Have you believed the gospel? And then this, are you relying on the power of God? I've gotten a very strong reminder of not only the things I take for granted, but also of how much I tend to kind of rely on myself for a lot of things. And just getting reminded how quickly that all can change and really how fragile our lives are, our communities are. And why we need to rely, why I need to rely on the power of God power of God for salvation, absolutely, but the power of just for living life in this world. And then I'll ask finally then, are you living with an eternal perspective? Living with an eternal perspective. I hope that maybe that's one of the things that God is going to work for good in this. In me, in all of us, is boy, we have been given a powerful reminder that this world is passing away and that we need to put our trust and confidence not in ourselves, but into the things that are eternal, into God. Our confidence must be in Him. You know, there's a man in our church here who we talks that sometimes he says God reminds him of some things sometimes, and he doesn't always hear it or obey it the first time, but he knows he better, though, because he doesn't want to get God's 2x4 upside the head, and you know who you are. Well, the events of these past few weeks have been a 2x4 upside all of our heads, haven't they? So are you living with an eternal perspective? Putting your trust in God, realizing that the light momentary afflictions are producing for you an eternal glory far beyond all comparison. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we do have eternal hope in Jesus Christ. God, I pray for someone who is listening to this now, that if they have not put their trust and confidence in you, that your Spirit would work in a mighty way in their heart and their mind to convince them of the truth of the gospel, that they would turn away from sin and embrace forgiveness and hope in Jesus Christ. God, I pray for all then too who are watching this now, that we would be encouraged, that we would take this lesson well about how temporary, light, and transient this life is compared to the eternal glory that you are working for us. So Lord, give us eyes of faith to see that, to believe that, to walk in that. And we give you the glory, God. You alone receive the glory. Soli Deo Gloria. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.